Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
You said before the game, right before the game with us,
I wanted to be up by like 14 at the half.
As we set the scene with Scott Solak. Finest segment in the entire show. No offense to anybody else who participates. You said this game's over at halftime.
Should be.
And then that didn't happen.
No.
It was tied at halftime. Mm. It was like a game hadn't even been played at halftime. 0-0. Got to try this again in the second half. Granted, the fourth quarter was much better for the Patriots than any other part of the game, but...
Oh, they're a better team.
Slow, sloppy start on the road. Here we are again with the Patriots not playing great on the road. The Jets suck. Don't lose sight of that. The Patriots are a much better team than the Jets.
You know what? Then I watch them with some of the talent that they do have on offense. I'm thinking, are they better than Buffalo? I asked myself that yesterday. Are they better than Buffalo?
That's what you debated. You were debating internally, are the Jets better than the Bills?
Because the Jets, I mean...
stinky teams.
But both defenses play hard. You know what I mean? They run around, they'll try and hit you. I see other teams that just pretty much don't do crap, you know? You look at a team like Chicago. I can sit there and say, you know what? The defense for Buffalo and the defense for... Now, coming fresh off the Jet game, I still think Buffalo's a better team. But... you throw Josh Allen in the mix, yeah. I would have liked to see Sam Darnold yesterday. I would have liked to call a game against him to see what the young kid's made of. He's a big fan, not fan, but I watched him a ton in college, so I liked him when he was coming out.
Yeah,
I thought he was one of the better quarterbacks in the draft. I watched him since he was a true freshman. And, I mean, you won. You won the game, and that's the key.
Yeah, it's just now, these are not great talkers.
I think I'll fully admit.
Win over the Jets.
See, it was a quick plane ride, man. We were up and down in 35
minutes. Just get the win and leave, please.
So you feel a certain way. You're still digesting that game. And then you start to get the trickling in information on the Denver game. Because we don't have live TV on the plane. So you didn't watch the Denver game.
I'm amazed by that.
All that money
on those planes, Hardy, they can't even get a live feed of the other NFL game.
Oh, we have an excellent.
You get like 400 movies on demand.
We had two beef fillets.
But you could get that on
JetBlue. Sauce.
Right.
JetBlue.
I could have taken like the $79 Logan to JFK JetBlue flight and been able to watch that game.
What are those little mini round potatoes? What do they call those?
Fingerling potatoes.
Oh, they're delightful. Delightful. Had a peppercorn glaze over the two petite fillets with the nice green beans. And, you know, when we get into range, Sosie's phone pops on because he's got Verizon. And
yeah, when you land,
Verizon,
right?
You can watch all
the games.
As soon
as you're on the runway.
And the guys are starting at the plane, and, you know, there's the game, and you're watching that Denver game unfold. And like, oh, God, they're going to go to overtime. This sucks. And then he throws the pick. And then it's like, okay, you feel better after what happened yesterday. You did your job. You won. You got the 8-3. And I said this, and I still firmly believe this. Pittsburgh's a big game. Pittsburgh's your biggest game left on the schedule. I know we got Viking week this week, and it's going to be fun and all. And yeah, Vikings are trending in the right direction. You can beat that team.
Do you like that they won last night? Because I do.
Yes.
I love it.
Makes this week more important.
Well, it does, but it also, I don't know, I don't like teams coming off a loss. Ever.
I like the fact
you're getting them off a win. Always better to get a team off a win than off a loss.
I like the fact they only scored 24 at home and won because it's not the high-flying Viking offense that we all thought it was going to be, right? With Kirk Cousins, they're going to spread it around everybody and digs, and everybody's going to catch touchdowns. It's going to be so much fun watching Thielen go over the middle. Really? Two high-flying offenses last night. Both put 14 up at the half. I'm not scared of either one of those teams. Pittsburgh, I think that's a different story. I mean, that team could throw
Patriots offense
500
10 against
like
the Jets at the half.
Well, it's the Jets. This is one thing we know about this Patriot team, and it is concrete through 11 games. They play to their competition. They play to the level of their competition. Throw the Jacksonville game out of it. That was their Super Bowl. They've had a nice year since. You know, Jacksonville. Good God. It's fun watching that team lose. But you're 8-3, and I still think you need to rip off the next two and roll into Pittsburgh at 10-3. Because I think you roll into Pittsburgh at 10-3, you're in their head like, oh, God, here we are again. Thought this isn't the Patriots' year. They're down this year. Things don't look right, but Jesus Christmas, they're 10-3, and we got them in our home building. Can we F this thing up again? You're damn right you can with your coach and your quarterback. Yes, you can F it up. The Pittsburgh defense isn't very good. is not very good.
You know, yesterday going into the game, I said, it's interesting to me how people have sort of looked at that game yesterday, going into it, which was, you got to get a win no matter what.
They were in a no-win situation,
you
I thought yesterday. Like,
to win.
You're not going to lose the game.
Desperate
you know what I mean?
For a win. Did they look like a team that was desperate for a win? I didn't think so. I didn't think they operated with any real urgency out of the gate in that game yesterday.
It's tough coming out of the bye at times, too.
Really
you
is.
Come out a little flat. They came out a little.
They were flat.
It wasn't that they were flat. Like, stupid-ass penalties again.
Jets are coming out of a bye, too.
Yeah, which was also weird. So, like, what do you expect? I wonder how much they prepared for Darnold that week. And all of a sudden, okay, here we go. He's not going to play. He was ruled out, what, Friday? I think he was ruled out Friday. Can't even remember because we were off. But, yeah, there's McCown making some plays.
I wonder if the team feels the urgency that the rest of us feel about them winning the next two games.
See, that's the first time they had their full lineman on offense, too. And I think we could see what it could potentially be. Where it's right with Josh Gordon. That was like the perfect Josh Gordon game. Four grabs that he had, they were perfect. And they all contributed. You know, Dorsett, you got him in the mix. Hogan, you got him up and rolling on some of the crossers. But it's all about 87. And I don't care if he's 100% right, but he looked good yesterday.
Well, we're going to get to that. We're going to get to that. But when you look at the conference standings after a game like yesterday, this is what we all do. We've all done it today.
Sure.
You and I and Jim and Hardy, we were all just doing it in the office. Well, wait a minute. Now you look at the... Okay, back in the number two seed right now, right? Thank you, Pittsburgh, for that disgrace. Disgraceful loss.
They should have lost last week at Jacksonville, too. Jacksonville blew that game.
Thanks, Ben.
Pittsburgh should lose two in a row.
Appreciate that. So the Patriots now back in the two seed. Then you start looking at Kansas City's schedule saying, okay, which games down the stretch do they have? And if you look at their schedule, well, they've got some tough games. They've got Baltimore on their schedule, and they've got to play – at the end of the year, some games that they may lose. They could have two more losses in them. That's what we start doing with this, right?
Right.
And I just say, I'd slow down a little bit because I don't think anything is a given with this team, with the Patriots. I have no idea if they're going to win the next two. I really don't. I know they're certainly capable.
You should.
I know they're capable.
I don't
know they
capable.
Should.
You should win the next two. You got the Vikings at home, 4:30. That's a big one for you. You should be up for that one. You should play your ass off in that one. And you should be able to go down to Miami because Miami doesn't have the same defense they've had the last 3 years. Miami doesn't have anybody on defense.
Was last year's team better than this year's team?
Yes. Ooh.
Patriots?
Yes.
They lost in Miami last year.
Yeah. You didn't have Gronkowski, and they had Jay Cutler. And it was a night game.
Jay Cutler.
With a better team last year, right? That same damn defense. Same Patriot defense.
You just dropped a Jay Cutler on us?
Yeah.
Like, that's a hard thing to deal with?
So, you seem like you're riding high off of a disappointing game yesterday.
He really is.
Based on what transpired in Pittsburgh. And I'm thinking, did the Pittsburgh thing
wait for... But that has nothing to do with how the Patriots have played.
Oh, no.
And how they will play.
It's a mindset of the player.
Yeah,
I saw a different team deplaning last night.
You're proving my point.
It's when they got on the plane. Now they're like, here it is. Let's go.
So it took another team losing to get emotional?
That's the point.
There it is.
Wake up.
That's my question.
This is exactly like us.
There it is.
How do you think we went to Super
Bowl?
Thank you. How do you think we went to Super Bowl 96-97?
Which I then say again.
Because Jacksonville went to Denver, beat their ass.
Because Denver lost.
All we got to do is beat Jackson. We're in. And we're like, hell yeah, we're going. It takes a winner like...
So Shaughnessy's right then.
What?
His whole theory is right.
What's that?
Just roll the balls out and let the other team screw up.
Yes.
Yeah.
All around the league.
But this is what we do this time of year.
That has been overplayed in past years by the Shaughnessys of the world because the Patriots have been teams that have taken care of their own business. I think the thing that might be different this time around is, do we know that this team is a team that takes care of business? I think we're going to find out over the next 2 weeks. I think yesterday was step one of three.
Zoe just told me the Vikings aren't good. So are you going to learn anything from that game if the Vikings aren't good?
Well, Vikings are not who I thought they were.
But they're still a good team. Don't discount them and say they're not a good team. They are a good team.
They're better than Miami. They're better than the Jets. And they're better than the Bills. They are the second best team
that
you have
left. You've got other teams that you could say they're better
than. No, but I'm saying of the teams you have left.
The Vikings are the second best.
They're right there behind Pittsburgh.
Yeah, don't discount them.
They have a good quarterback and a good receiving crew.
If the Patriots win both. And I think out of the three steps coming out of the bye before the Pittsburgh game, yesterday was the easiest of the three.
Now, the final two games will be easier.
No, I'm not talking about the final
two.
I'm talking about just getting to Pittsburgh, winning the next three, including yesterday.
Yes, because Miami's always a tough
spot. Step one's the easiest. You have better, much better competition at home. Okay, that helps that they're at home. Patriots have played well at home at times, most of the time. Then they've got... The road game at Miami, they lost there last year. They've lost there before. For whatever reason, Division road games give this team issues, like they give a lot of NFL teams issues. So you've got two more steps in this. And if they win the next two, this is what I think we will say going into that game against Pittsburgh. This team has proven that they could at least take care of their business. Right. You know, if they lose against Pittsburgh, they've lost against another good top AFC team. But a game at home against Minnesota and a game on the road against a crappy Dolphins team that might soon be firing their coach, according to some. Those are two that you've got to take care of business on, this team, this Patriots team. And if they don't, then we will say there is a difference with this team than other Patriot years, because good Patriots teams can take care of their business, and they got to win the next two.
But the key is every year is different, and there's certain things that happen that get you going, and maybe that Pittsburgh-type loss and them, you know, going from the 4-2 in a matter of one day wakes their ass up, and let's go. We got the big boy back. He's feeling good. Let's crank this thing up.
And let's talk about the
big
boy.
Let's go whip some ass.
Zulak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Down 7-0 with Gordon split right. Three receivers left, including Gronkowski. Four-man rushes. Brady takes the snap. Late pressure. A throw down the middle for Gronk. Open. Lunges. Yeah. Makes the catch. Absorbs the contact. And falls in the end zone for a touchdown. Patriots.
So why you get the big boy back?
The other issue is Gronk doesn't have the same quickness that he once had. I mean, the great combination of Gronk and Aaron Hernandez. Aaron Hernandez was quick. Gronk was quick and explosive. Gronk's more of a builder of speed now. And people are playing for that. So none of those underneath routes really apply to Gronk. It's got to be throws up the field. And so that limits what you do offensively. And I think that's the challenge for New England.
Ping pong ping. This is from Goodfellas.
No, they did not play this in Goodfellas.
You call me a clown? Would I amuse you? Yeah, I'm sitting there, you know, it's ping, pong, ping, ping. It's ping, pong, ping. Tommy did that.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah. Ping, pong, ping.
Yep. Yep.
Verbatim. Moving ping, on. Pong, ping.
I wish I was big just once.
You play ping, pong?
That clip of Michael Lombardi from the Ringer podcast that he does, start of the year. You know, we mocked him at the time. What the hell are you talking about? You know, this has got to be from one of your friends and... What kind of bullcrap shot is this? And you hear that, you hear us play. We're not playing it to do the, oh, what are you going to now? Apologize, hater.
No, he's right.
No, I play that clip here because, oh my God, that dope, Mike Lombardi. Obviously, I'm being a little strong there. But that guy, I can't stand Mike Lombardi. He was so right. He was so right about
why
this.
Why can't you stand Mike Lombardi?
Because he's such a bobo. He's so in the bag for anything that's Bill Belichick. He will always take the side of the coach. He will never criticize a coach or a coaching decision. He will only criticize players. And I think you've got to do both. You've got to criticize coaches coaches you know, coaches that you are friends with. If you want to do the media thing, you can't just hammer players.
He did write the foreword for his book. I mean, so you got to protect him a little bit.
Well, I mean, it's ridiculous, though. I called him Mouthpiece Lombardi in the past.
That. Yeah.
Yeah, but can't the mouthpiece be right, too, sometimes?
He's right. No, and here's where he's right.
Does the mouthpiece always have to be wrong?
No.
No.
And in this one, I'm giving him his due. He deserves his due because that touchdown play, as great as it was, that was a great play. That's exactly what Mike Lombardi described at the start of the year. His best plays are going to be up the field.
He's
a builder of speed.
And that's what they are,
Once he gets up and he gets going and the train starts going down the tracks, it picks up steam, and all of a sudden he is... up the seam. I love that play. I want that play to always be there.
It's the Pittsburgh play.
But the underneath stuff is not there anymore.
It's not. The underneath stuff you're talking about is the up on a linebacker, break across his face, catch it, and the arm swat. I step out of the tackle, and I carry somebody for 10 yards. The second he catches that ball, boom, they're down on the ankles, and they get him down. Here's what I noticed that is very different. They don't jam him anymore at the line of scrimmage, meaning teams. You look at the Jets, and I'm like, okay, Josh, you really don't have to flex him or back him off the line of scrimmage or put him out motion and bring him down in motion, you know, to get the free release up the field, because when you're in motion, it's tough to get a jam on somebody. There are times where Gronk's got his hand down, he's the tight end of that side, left or right, and psh, it's free release right up to the backer, and they're running with him. See, Lombardi's right. He needs time to get into gear. He's like Josh Gordon, too. Gordon's like that downfield. Like, once you get him into that crease, like, you can't stop him. You can't stop Gordon. You can't stop Gronk. They got to figure out how to play that off each other. I'm talking about on the vertical stuff. And I think that's what's coming next. But to see Gronkowski get excited catching that ball, this could be the beginning of what we anticipated of being that great stretch run here. Because if you look at the stuff last year, we already heard Pittsburgh, the deep stuff down and out, and then the fade routes. And how'd you hurt the Eagles in the Super Bowl? Deep down the half stuff. Now, he got knocked out in Jacksonville in the AFC Championship game because you're sending vertical and you're vulnerable. So they got to be careful with that. But I thought Gronk was good yesterday because that's a great matchup for him against Adams coming out of the gate. That wasn't some slappy safety. That's one of your better safeties in the AFC, if not one of the best in the league. And if you're going to play the Chiefs to where you think that's going to be an AFC Championship-type matchup, is a guy like Eric Berry, who's coming back for them, going to be able to handle Gronkowski like he did last year? See, and that's the big thing now. If you have a good safety, you can match up on Gronk. Can you say, okay, we'll risk taking him man-to-man as opposed to bracketing him with another backer or another nickelback? So you may not have to go nickel there. But
right.
Devlin, and I'm telling you, man, and I saw this start to develop here because this is the first time I saw him where they got everybody in offense. When Devlin's in the game, we all know he's good at blocking, right? He's the lead blocker. But when they flex him out, that's where they got people by the balls. Because you could take him, you put him in a slot left, slot right, all the way to the outside. And what it does, it removes a big safety or a linebacker out of the middle. So now all of a sudden, you're taking one of those underneath big guys out of the middle. Brady knows he's not throwing it to Devlin. But if Devlin's in the game, don't leave him in the backfield if you're going to throw the ball. Flex him out. Because all of a sudden, you're going to just take a guy and move him out. Now, holy crap, I only got six guys in the middle I got to deal with. Now I got Edelman, Hogan, Gronkowski, James. James White's the back. He's the other guy flexed when Brady goes gun empty. And that's regular personnel. Now you got him by the balls. That's where you're going to kill Pittsburgh. You're going to kill Pittsburgh with regular because they can't handle it. It's Keith Butler. It's the same old stuff they've been running for years. They're going to go cover two. You're going to spread them out. You're going to gouge them right down the middle of the field. It's typical. I can't wait for Pittsburgh. Now, can you stop them? That's the problem.
Two more games before Pittsburgh.
Right.
Two more.
I know.
Got to take care of business.
I'm going to get ahead of myself.
Take care of business.
Just keep reminding me about first half yesterday. That's all.
The good teams, the good Patriot teams over the years have taken care of their business.
Yeah.
Before those big games.
It's not even just the first half, so that first drive of the second half was so frustrating. They got a 31-yard run, and the drive was a field goal drive of 15 plays and 61 yards. You went 14 plays and only got 30 yards the rest of the drive.
Yep.
It's like being stuck in the mud.
I mean, they still scored, and they came out like, oh, they're driving down the field, but they couldn't punch it in.
So we're going to keep reminding you about these
things.
They're
going to be able to run the ball, though. That's the key. I'm telling you, it all started with that offensive line yesterday.
Had a good day.
They had their – and Scar – I was talking to Scar on the way in, and he was excited about, you know, continuity up front. That right side, when they got Mason and they got Cannon, and you got the tight end blocking and Devlin, they're hard to stop. Hard to stop in a run game. I don't care how good, whether you think Michelle's good or not. Put anybody back, you can run behind that crew. You're going to have good, effective running days. That's going to open up your play action. So it's something to build off. There's stuff there yesterday. As frustrated as you are because you wanted them to just blow doors.
Yes.
They didn't blow doors.
Yes.
There's stuff to build off yesterday.
617-779-0985. Peter's in Maine. Peter.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, I talked to you guys back when the trade deadline was coming up about the Patriots' prospects for the future. Now, it was a quick conversation. But the thing is I find it strange that I brought up at that moment that the defensive backfield of New England right now is playing horribly. And I have fans from Maine to Massachusetts that tell me I'm completely wrong. And guess what? That's not what I'm seeing when I watch these games. The Patriots' backfield defensively are not doing a good job. They're even missing tackles. And I'd like to know what you guys think about the new tackle that replaced Solder, and I don't think he's much better as far as his ability to actually block.
He's actually better.
Trent Brown?
Brown's
just no good.
Okay, Peter, we're going to have another quick conversation. We're going to end it on that point.
Brown's better than Solder.
He's had a good year. What are you talking about?
In a nutshell, that's what you be from start to finish. And what he played third down in Tennessee, he was not good in Tennessee. He was sick. He's dealing a back. Guy's played through everything, and he's played really, really well. You know, he's so big and long at times. When he reaches for guys and his hands are out, you see him on people, He gets tagged. They're ready to call holding.
They are no worse at left tackle. If anything, they are better.
They're actually
Let's
more
just leave it there.
You're more athletic.
It's not much
tackle.
To debate on
you're
that
not,
point.
You're not stiff.
Patriots secondary. How do you think they played yesterday? Not
they're
their
okay.
best day. Not
okay.
their best day.
I mean, Gilmore was better. He got turned around once. On
better than he was in Tennessee.
But Noon was a good. He's a good wideout. Noon could play.
Jason McCourty had some issues at times.
McCourty got a little exposed yesterday.
Yep.
Here's where I still don't get it, why teams don't run more crossing and pick routes against this team. When they chase across the field, they don't close. That's where they miss guys like Butler. Butler would get beat and give up the catch, but second that catch is made, boom, boom, he's down on your legs. You know who has to make the play? The guy on the other side. Safety on the other side always has to make a play or a tackle to make sure you get that crosser from the other side. They can't handle crossing routes right now.
Jonathan Jones was terrible yesterday.
Jonathan Jones, and that's where, and I screwed up at the beginning.
You called him Duke Dawson.
I called him Duke Dawson. And I remember Duke Dawson wearing 22 in camp, early in camp. So that gets it great. I mean, I have a tough time with 21 seeing Harmon, too.
I still think 30 for Harmon.
Yeah, and I almost called Harmon making that tackle when Jason got run over by one of those guards yesterday. But I think when you get Duke Dawson up and running, it's going to allow Jonathan Jones to go concentrate on his damn special teams, and maybe that'll help them be better.
It's gonna do this. It's going to take Jonathan Jones out of the equation.
Put him here. Go over there.
You. Right over there.
What's up, Hardy?
To the sideline. Right over there.
How you doing, Hardy?
Right there. You don't mind.
Really good.
Quickly, Brian in Fitchburg with a defensive point as well. What's up,
yeah,
Brian?
Fitchburg.
Hey, guys, before I get to Van Noy, I'm not sure if you saw the CFL Grey Cup, but I think the Red Blacks lost it on a fumble by that fat, no-talent Michelle Riley from Serge, Ontario.
Ah, nice. Nice.
That's nice. A Mike Riley call.
Nice. That's a good one.
It's a good one.
That was
Keep
slick.
Them coming today.
That was slick. Brian in Fitchburg, add him to the list.
Making your job suck just a little bit less.
This helps my emotion.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I always talk to him about everything, and like I said, he's a great friend of mine. So, I love him. I love his family. I mean, we're very close. You work together with someone for that long. You have a great rapport and relationship, and I'm happy he's on our team, happy he's coaching me, and I want to go out there and do well by him.
Tom Brady on Josh McDaniels. That was back in training camp after Josh McDaniels decided to remain in New England and not go to the Colts. What?
Nothing.
You
said, ha.
That he didn't go to the Colts.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's the headline. Jason Lockett for CBS Sports. Josh McDaniels, once again, a hot head coaching candidate, despite pulling out of the Colts job. Jason Lockett for writes this yesterday, saying longtime Patriots offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels is expected to draw considerable interest for head coaching openings again this offseason, despite his pulling out of the Colts job last winter just before the press conference to formally introduce him. It goes over that he was previously the head coach in Denver, says that he will have options this offseason. He reports this, conversations with decision makers on several teams expecting to hire new coaches in 2019 revealed no shortage of potential interest in McDaniels, despite what occurred last year in Indianapolis. Now, Jason Lockett Ford does not tell us which teams and which decision makers he has actually talked to and heard this from. Very vague, very vague, very general. That doesn't mean it's not true. He says, at the time when McDaniels was asked to be released from a contract he had just agreed to with his staff already being put in place, many suggested McDaniels had essentially guaranteed he would not get another chance to be a head coach again. However, that is not the case. The landscape currently looks very favorable for McDaniels, who has turned down overtures from numerous teams in the past, has been coveted in San Francisco, Jacksonville, Cleveland. He's been very judicious about which jobs he seriously considers and has earned some critics along the way. But there will be NFL teams who want to interview him after the regular season, league sources indicated. So league sources and decision makers in the NFL are talking again about the possibility of Josh McDaniels being a head coach.
I laughed at this last year. Everybody said, oh, he's done. He'll never get another chance. You're crazy.
Well, that's
a bad league for coaching. It really is. There are some slappies out there, like Hugh Jackson's. And we'll get to him later in the show. I know that. But Cleveland should be number one on the list right now because of the talent and the quarterback and the facilities. They have great facilities. If you're Josh McDaniels and you're an Ohio guy,
but,
and your dad's like legendary coach from Ohio, that's where you're. That's a potential landing spot.
So you're not even dealing with just one good opening, though.
That's
there are multiple.
It's even better for Josh.
Good openings this offseason. There is the opening in Green Bay. Mike McCarthy won't be there. There's going to be the opening in Cleveland. There is going to be an opening in Baltimore.
Well, you got Jesus, say what you Jesus will. And cleats there. In
say
Green Bay.
What you will about Joe Flacco. They also have this other guy, Lamar Jackson, waiting in the wings. I wonder if Josh McDaniels had any interest in drafting Lamar Jackson last year. I think that could play into it a little bit. Does he like Lamar Jackson? Does he think that that could be the future in Baltimore? There's that job. And that's a job where they have not been quick with the firings, right? They've let John Harbaugh be their coach for a long time after winning the Super Bowl and then like never making the playoffs again.
There's some stability in that division.
There are stability.
Even Marvin Lewis.
There are stable jobs out there, okay, and good ones with good teams. And good foundations, and some of them with really good quarterbacks. There's multiple great jobs out there. Josh McDaniels keeps getting brought up in these reports. Do you think that that is by accident? Or is this being floated? Are people within Josh McDaniels' circle speaking? And I talked to Bert Breer about this pregame yesterday, and he said, you know, in his typical Bert fashion, let me explain this to you. Right, love when Bert does that.
Yeah,
he sort of talks down everybody.
Let me explain it to you.
Yes, and he said at this time of year, when coaches are getting ready to interview for jobs, when they know that okay, we're 6 weeks away from me getting interviews for jobs,
right?
In those interviews, you will be asked by general managers and whoever it is you're being interviewed by. Okay, so if we hire you, who do you have in line to be your offensive coordinator? Who do you have in line to be your defensive coordinator? Who's going to be your, you know, strength and conditioning guy? They ask you all these questions. They want to know who your entire staff will be. And he said, so what happens is you have coaches that start reaching out to other coaches saying, hey, what's the future look like for you? If I were to go to team X, Y, or Z, would you be able to join me on the staff? Would you be interested in joining me on the staff? And those phone calls start to get made quietly, hush, hush, through, as Bert said, intermediaries.
Back channel
communication, agents and such.
I'm sure he never keeps in contact with Brian Daboll at all.
Josh McDaniels was fired by his agent last offseason. Does he have a new agent? I think that's a relevant question about Josh McDaniels. Has he hired a new agent?
Maybe I'll just represent myself.
Is that agent back channeling with other agents? All very relevant questions. And therefore, because of this, we'll say, chatter on the back channels. Is that leading to all of a sudden the team saying, yeah, we're interested in Josh McDaniels. And oh, by the way, someone let us know that Josh McDaniels is interested in having other teams too. I just don't think it's any mistake that all of a sudden we get report after report about the availability of Josh McDaniels going into this offseason.
Right.
No, teams need to know he's interested, don't they?
Yep. And so he's going to let them know that he is.
He can't be doing this to leverage more money out of the Patriots.
No.
If it's him doing it.
No, it's not about money.
Because
it's about job title.
He's got enough money. He's not getting any more money than
he's
getting
now. So the question naturally, now that we bring it back to New England, is if he does want another gig, another head coaching shot, why?
Maybe the landscape changed here.
How so?
But what changed?
Maybe Bill wants to keep coaching.
Maybe Bill wants to keep coaching. Maybe Brady.
Bill's not near the end.
Is closer to the end than he admits. Or I mean, there's a million different things it could be.
Maybe I've maximized Tom Brady. You know, it's time for me to branch out and do my own thing here. Now's the time.
This quarterback sucks. I got to go somewhere else and get another job.
As Bert has contended publicly, he said, "You know what? McDaniels just got cold feet."
I don't mind.
As Bert said, you know, he just might have something to work with. He got cold feet on the Colts, and a big part of that was Andrew Luck not knowing his status and where he's at. And that this is pure speculation, there may even be some regret on his part having watched Andrew Luck now and seeing that he's back to being a good quarterback. Another comeback for him yesterday, right?
Nice catch he had.
It would still give me pause if I'm an owner or doing the hiring for my football team. And I know there is a lack of good head coaches out there and guys who are available and guys who are ready to step in day one and take over the job. But
what
you just said, He either got cold feet or he got a better offer to stay in New England. Nope. I know you're going to have the press conference in 20 minutes and we already agreed to it, but I'm not going. I'm staying in New England. I'm going to be the offensive coordinator, and a lot of people believe he's going to be groomed to be. This is my decision. I'm going to stay here. Fast forward 6 months. I'll put it out there. I might be looking.
Let's give it a floater.
Wouldn't that concern you a little bit?
Yeah,
the guy's got problems with decision making.
The tight end won't be here next year.
He's young.
Is Brady really going to go until 45?
He's young. He's got to make sure.
I really want to be the guy after the guy here?
Right.
Probably not. Yeah, I'm gonna put my name out there again.
Now that I agree with. You don't want to be the head coach, the first head coach after Bill Belichick. But if you came back to New England with that being your thought process, you should have been able to look at that as one of the scenarios right away and decide whether or not you want to do that and not change your mind again 6 months later.
But maybe he never did change his mind. Maybe his mind was only decided. His only decision was based on the Colts. And when he decided he didn't want to go to the Colts, well, I'm going to go back to New England, and I'm going to use this to get more money.
They
at least
saved
for
his
this
ass.
Year.
They and in essence, the Patriots saved his ass from maybe making a bad decision to go to Indy and directed him to come back to where, okay, you could be gift wrapped this Cleveland job.
You know what I would say though, which to your point, Hardy,
there's no pressure to.
Here's the part I agree with.
There,
it's not necessarily decision making, but he has no issue burning people. He burned the Colts.
Yep.
If he leaves now, he will have burned Robert Kraft.
Yep.
I mean, it's like he doesn't give a damn.
Well, there could be an out.
That to me is an issue.
Though.
Like, is this guy loyal to anybody, or is he just
that it should have been
going to burn people left and right?
But if you came back and you got paid like one of the top head coaches in the league, or one of the five head coaches in the league,
what do you think? Robert Kraft gave a raise because he didn't want him to be the next head coach?
Well, that should be an ironclad thing then in the contract. You shouldn't have an out. If there's an out built into that contract, then who's that fault on? The people that signed you to it. Ironclad contracts are ironclad contracts. Just can't say, hey, I'm leaving to be a head coach. Unless you ink something to where we're getting this massive raise.
But have they not?
You don't have the out.
So I said that at the time, and then obviously I was quickly corrected, which is you can't really have those clauses in contracts now, but what the next job is, because you can't guarantee a head coaching job to somebody because there has to be an interview process and it has to fall within the Rooney rules. And therefore, you can't just do that. You can't say you're the next head coach. You can't do that in a contract. You can't guarantee it for anybody. The team can't guarantee it for themselves. The coach can't have it guaranteed to him.
But you can write it in. You can't interview for a head coaching job within the next 2 or 3 years. You could write that stuff in.
That you could.
Yep.
That you could.
And he's not a minority, so he doesn't factor into the Rooney rule to where you're holding a potential candidate down. So.
Yeah, but either way, you could have that in a contract, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's about you can't guarantee the job to anybody. In a contract.
Correct.
A future hiring. You can't guarantee future hiring.
Right.
Lolak and Bertrand.
Do they pose a threat?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Aaron Rodgers was less than his best last night. Let's put it that way. Okay, Aaron Rodgers. Finally,
was that a winnable game for that?
Finally,
team?
Yes, of course it was.
That is one you could put on him.
Absolutely.
And say he blew it. As he blew,
not for Aaron Rodgers. Do you want to know why?
Why?
As our former colleague Adam Kaufman just retweeted, Aaron Rodgers is now 0-37. When trailing by more than 1 point in the fourth quarter to a team with a winning record.
1 point.
Let me repeat.
That means
Aaron Rodgers.
That means trailing, period.
0-37 by trailing at all.
Period.
In the fourth quarter to a team with a winning record.
Aaron Rodgers has never had a comeback against a winning team. Ever.
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 Okay. Fourth quarter comeback.
You put him in the same conversation as Brady, you morons. You national media morons. Okay, let me read you this. Finally, someone has the balls to call it like it is in Green Bay. And this has become one of our sort of fun little things we do since this Green Bay game.
Yeah.
Andy Benoit wrote this for SI. He writes this, please understand, you're not reading an Aaron Rodgers hot take. at least not according to discussions that occur within the NFL. Around the league, Rodgers is regarded as an incredible but imperfect quarterback. Outside the NFL, Rodgers is basically viewed as a god. It has somehow become heretical to say anything critical of him. Rodgers is the most physically talented quarterback of all time. 32 NFL GMs would be happy to build their team around him. When he's clicking, he's magnificent. But Rodgers does not click with the regularity of a Drew Brees, Tom Brady, or even a resurgent Andrew Luck.
Excuse me? First two really didn't stick you. It's that last little zinger.
Is he wrong? Have you seen Andrew Luck the last month?
This is the old Andrew Luck, and this is bad for Rodgers because Brady won the MVP last year, played flawlessly. Brees is doing the exact same thing, and these two guys are his elders. And not to say that Rodgers can't do this down the road, and this is what could be dangerous for a guy like Josh or anybody else being interested in the Green Bay gig when it's up. Is he too big for them? Meaning that perception that he's the highest paid guy in the league. Is he fixable? Is he coachable?
Because he's a whiny pain in the ass.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think it's
That's what I'm saying. See, Cleveland is more attractive because you have control of the player. You're going to have a quarterback on his rookie deal going into his second year where you got another 3 years control of that player before he's got to be paid. So you have at least a three-year window where you can pad your staff up and your team with other high-paid guys because you really don't have to overpay for the quarterback like Green Bay does.
You ready for this next line? Benoit writes for SI.
See, that's Rodgers. You see what I'm saying? That's Rodgers' team. He ain't going anywhere.
There is no stat that captures throws that should be made but aren't. Or throws that could have been made on schedule but were made off schedule. If these categories existed, Rodgers would have as many as any quarterback every year. He's a scintillating sandlot player who goes into the sandlot mode way too often. Last night I saw a tweet from Steve Palazzolo from Pro Football Focus.
Palazzolo,
really tall guy.
Pizzolini?
Yeah, really tall.
College pitcher.
Really?
Yeah.
He used to do some work at NBC Sports Boston from time to time. Yeah. I don't think I've ever met him, but good follow. PFF_Steve. Because those guys actually do have some of these categories.
Eliki Palazzo.
And this was tweeted out after the game last night. Aaron Rodgers has 47 throwaways this season. Drew Brees only has 82 incompletions total on the year.
Wow.
How's that for one of those statistical categories? Yeah, actually, when you go to Pro Football Focus, some of those stats actually do exist. They actually keep track of some of this stuff. 47 throwaways, Aaron Rodgers, while Drew Brees has 82 total incompletions.
See, this is the tough thing because if you're a statistically based opinion type guy, the numbers are there for you. And me being a football guy, like I watch Rodgers play and you think, okay, I know this guy's good. I know he makes plays. I know he's phenomenal talent. But now it's getting to a point because of the losses. See, we'd be throwing all this out the window if they were fine and if they were an 8-3 team or if they were a 9-2 team because it'd be different. Because he would be considered a winner. Yeah, he has to do those things because he finds other ways for you to win. Problem is he's not winning right now.
He's a sandlot player.
He is a polished version of Brett Favre. Brett Favre is a, let's call it for what it is, he'll get into trouble because he's dumb at times. See, I think Rodgers is a hell of a lot smarter. And that's not putting Favre down. He is a polished version of Favre. They're both gamblers. They're riverboat gambler type guys. This is where a guy like Mahomes needs to be careful because you're tutored under like the Andy Reid coaching tree. And Andy Reid was under Holmgren and all those guys with Mariucci and all them. They all had Favre. None of them could control him. You just wonder if a guy like Andy Reid could control Mahomes type. Like there's a benefit to be that riverboat gambler. You're going to put up big stats. You're going to make big plays all over the lot. And you're going to be considered a really good sandlot type guy quarterback because you want to be an improviser when plays break down and make something happen. There's times where you watch him play where I think he intentionally wants to break the play down instead of just taking what's there.
617.
He's got underneath crossers wide open. And I watch him come to the sideline. And again, there's Brady again being coached up by McDaniels. He's got Hoyer over one side. And then he's got Danny Etling writing stuff down, showing him stuff, holding the secondary tablet. Like, There's coaches in this league that don't do that with second-year guys. They coach their ass up here. You just wonder if anybody walking into that situation could have the ability to do that to Rodgers. I don't know. Maybe Rodgers doesn't want that.
Joe and Revere, go ahead.
Hey, guys. What's happening?
Hey, Joe.
All right, so great call last night.
Thanks.
Always, as always.
Yep.
I told you, bet the house on the Patriots. They scared me in the at the end of the game, but they held on. I collected the moolah. That's all that counts.
That backdoor cover, huh?
Yes, sir. But your defense got to get a little tighter, especially coming up. We got Minnesota. We got a gift yesterday because Ben was Ben last yesterday. He cost me a lot of money, Ben. But that's besides the point.
All right, Joe. Defense needs to be better, is what Joe says. The defense needs to improve. Need more from the defense. Still says,
I'm not worried about the defense.
Not agreeing
if
with
you're
that.
Going anywhere, you're the offense is carrying you. The defense is going to bend but don't break. And tighten it up when you get in that red zone.
Yeah, they are what they are.
Game.
They are.
That is not going to change. Have a guy here or there make a play like a Trey Flowers or, you know, like a Claiborne and, you know, Van Noy out in space. Edge got to talk to him a little bit. He goes, how'd that go last week? He goes, we got to do that again this week. Get on a roll. I said, I'm fine with that. I want you every week until they lose. He said, we ain't losing. I'm going to do this every week.
Okay, then. We'll do it every week, Kyle Van Noy.
Yes.
Bring it.
Van Noy will be with us on Wednesday.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.